Hey, if you're a Dustin Lynch fan, stick around to the very end of the podcast. We have a Dustin Lynch exclusive. Hold on, let me get some echo. Exclusive interview. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Look, you want it,
come on.
Oh, yeah.
You want it, come on.
Yeah.
You want it, come on.
Yeah.
That was me rapping one time.
To a telemarketer.
Come on.
That doesn't sound like me.
It does. I mean,
you were being that guy. You were being that guy in every rap video who just goes, yeah.
If you didn't tell me that was you, I wouldn't have known.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you were first playing it, I didn't know it was D.
Wow. Okay. The podcast. Hey, can you do the O'Reilly podcast sponsorship in that voice?
Yeah. O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Bringing you the podcast.
You want it, come on.
You want it, come on.
Yeah.
You want it, come on.
Yeah.
What's everyone doing for Memorial Day weekend?
My Memorial Day has been hijacked. No offense. I don't want to say anything as a negative because I don't want anybody to turn it that way, but it's Stacy's grandmother's 80th birthday.
Oh.
So everything has turned into a celebration of her over the next couple days. Oh. And then Memorial Day itself, I think we're just going to go swim.
Oh, well, that sounds like fun.
And you?
Baseball. They do these big tournaments every Memorial Day. And so I'll be doing baseball tournaments with Gunn. It's just he and I.
Oh, yeah. That sounds fun, though.
Just traveling. Yeah.
Nobody else gets to be a part of it?
We'll be hitting the road. No, got other stuff going on. Everyone's got other things to do, so.
What about you, Carson?
I've got some plans with friends. Nothing too exciting, though. I guess
Doing a themed party of some sort?
I don't know. I'm sure there will be red, white, and blue stuff on the table. And maybe a tablecloth. I'm not throwing the party, so I assume these people will be patriotic. I'm hoping so.
All right, Patrick, you got to do better than
that. Wow, I am taking a road trip with my new girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
We are going on a trip together and to see if our relationship can survive it, basically.
Was that talked about? Or is that you just said that just now?
No, I mean, there's this old quote from Bill Murray when somebody supposedly asked him for, you know, advice for newlyweds, and he said, you know, travel, take road trips, sit in cars together, go to airports and have your flight be delayed and carry your luggage and, you know, all these things that can go wrong and things that can go right, and see if you still like each other when you get back. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea. And traveling with me, not so easy because I'm kind of a terrible person.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm in airports because I'm nervous already. I don't like flying and I hate.
Well, I thought you medicate waiting. Like you would be easy to fly with.
Yeah, sometimes. But like I hate traffic. I hate crowds. I hate hurry up and wait. I hate snooty people at the immigration desk making you wait in line and then, you know, for nothing.
Snooty people.
Some of those people are not in America, of course, but in other countries they can be terrible. I just don't like any of it, man. I don't. I like being other places. I don't like going other places. So that's why I say, let's see. And who knows? Maybe Vivica's awful too. I don't know. Maybe she's delightful and I'll come back thinking, oh, wow, how delightful she is.
That's a word I use often.
Isn't it, though?
Don't you? I mean, don't
you know
we
you
all?
Should use
I love
that
the word
often.
Delightful, actually.
Delightful is...
It's kind of like a Mary Poppins word.
I was
like,
going to say, it's very British. It's something like you would see somebody from Great Britain say as their, you know,
how
entertaining guests.
What a delight.
Yes.
You're a delight.
He was a delightful young man.
Are you at all worried that you are going to be off-putting to Vivica?
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm terrible.
I mean, because I think she's... I have a feeling if anybody screws this up, it's going to be you.
Yeah.
I mean, because she seems pretty. She's pretty
Does
cool.
anyone here think that Vivica is going to be the cause of the eventual breakup between us?
No.
No. No. It's definitely, I'm going to do something to screw this up any minute now.
You really shouldn't, by the way.
I mean, I'm not going to, I'm not trying to. I'm just being honest. This is the most likely scenario is that I will cause some disastrous thing.
I'm actually surprised that you haven't done it already. Like, what? I don't know. I just, you had gone to, I mean, what, 2 years without even having a third date, getting to the third date? So,
no, I've gotten,
not according to what you tell us.
For 3 or 4 weeks, but, you know, it was never a thing. Like, sadly, the most serious relationship I was in was with that girl that I wasn't even in a relationship with.
Oh, my God, I forgot all about that.
Oh, didn't you, though?
Yeah, Photoshop girl.
Yeah.
Oh,
Carson just remembered.
I forgot about her, too.
Oh, yeah, Photoshop was girl great. Was great. She was great. If you don't know the story about Photoshop girl, we're not going to – let's just leave it at Photoshop girl. Let's not drop any other hints. What she was very misleading. Her photos online –
did not look like the real person.
Didn't look like the real person's best friend. I mean,
they
was
were
crazy.
Not even in the same family.
She was really good at adjusting her photos.
All women adjust themselves in pictures, okay? But when I showed Carson some pictures of what she really looked like versus what she looked like in all these others, Carson's literal words were, "Damn, that girl, magic."
Yeah.
And that was true.
She was really good.
I was like, man, it's weird. We've been talking. I wonder why she doesn't want to meet. Yeah, because she's going to look like she got stung by bees, and she doesn't want me to see her.
Wendy on Facebook, who's watching live, says that you got catfished. And I don't think that's technically it, because catfished is whenever they pretend to be somebody else.
Yeah.
It was really a
photo
of her.
It was her.
It was really her saying that it was her.
They call that kitten fishing. I found that out. That's a real thing. It's like catfishing, but on a smaller scale, where you're basically all your pictures are fake, are super photoshopped, are really old. But like, oh man, that girl.
Kitten fishing.
And also possibly completely insane. Like, I'm not sure anything she ever told me was the truth.
Wow.
Yeah. It's one of those where you realize, wow. But I talked to her. She called me on the phone every day. I talked to her every day for a month. Was it a month? Something like that. And it was entertaining. You know, it was something to do. But
she filled the time.
It filled the time. That's right.
And it made you feel like you had something going on. You know, like you weren't alone during that time.
It's nice when somebody makes you feel important.
You had somebody asking about your day and that kind of stuff. And that's great.
But
at some
point, Vivica is real.
Oh, this stuff's crazy.
Vivica's real and completely unphotoshopped.
And really pretty and really nice and really real.
Really real. Real.
She's got a lot going for her. She's really real.
She's really real.
All you have to do nowadays is just be really real, and you got a lot going for you.
Hey, Carson, did you play softball growing up?
Yeah, I did.
Were you on the school team? And
I played in like the leagues in town.
Oh, yeah.
So I was never on an actual.
So you would have competed in like my leagues since I played co-ed.
No. It was women's. It was women's softball, but it was stuff that I did through. Junior high that I paid. It was like rec league, so it was people from all different schools.
Oh, like school sponsored?
It was more like our parks and rec department. Does that make sense? So I was on teams with girls from other schools, like other elementary schools.
Okay. How far did you go?
Through eighth grade. So I played up to then.
Why'd you get out? You just.
I wasn't good. I was like a decent outfielder and second baseman, but man, they tried to make me pitch my last year, which I just remember stacking the bases with walks, and there's nothing worse than you're standing out there. And I know, like, I mean, it's like eighth grade softball. Nobody cares. But I wanted to crawl in a hole and die. Yeah. I still remember to this day just standing out there and feeling like everybody's looking at me going, what is wrong with this girl? Why can she not throw a ball properly? And like when I finally got a strike, they were like, oh, wow, look at her. It was, I just wasn't good. I don't think I was good enough.
I was watching the tournaments, the national tournaments and stuff, with the, you know, in different conferences and stuff, yeah. softball. I've really never gotten into it. It's so fun to watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those girls are so good.
Dude, there's a couple of sports that I've really gotten into over the past couple of years on TV. Softball, which is something I had never gone to. Like, I play softball, but I'd never gone to, like, a softball game collegiately. I've done so now because I was turned on by the games going, hey, man, this is actually entertaining, real ball. You
I
know?
Love watching the pitchers who can actually do it, like pitch.
Well, I was going to
something
also,
that I could never do.
College volleyball is awesome.
Yes.
On TV. I don't know if you guys have ever stopped when it's on. You got to watch it. They're great.
Good. So you're talking about like the
like sand volleyball. You can do beach volleyball.
I like beach volleyball a lot.
Well, yeah, the both of them are worth watching. If you've never watched them and you're flipping channels and you just stop and just watch it for a little bit, it's eye opener. I mean, some amazing athletes doing like crazy saves and digs and things like that.
I only watch it during the Olympics. It's the only kind of thing I've.
Those people are insanely good.
I'm just so intrigued by the idea that there's just two of them, and they're just spread out across this massive area, and they make it happen. You know, it's just the two of them, boom, 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 over the net. Like, I can't do it with nine people on a court. You know, in high school, like, oh, no, nobody hit it to me. Please don't hit it to me.
I have been, well, over the last, I guess, maybe week or so, I've been talking to Gunnar about taking his baseball training to kind of, and expanding it into training, into mental training. And I told a couple of friends of mine who are on his travel team that of what we're doing, of just kind of more visualization, lots of breathing kind of stuff, slowing everything down. And I thought they were going to think I was nutty, but actually one of the guys who played college ball was like, you know what? He goes, we did it in high school. We stopped doing it in college. He goes, I wish we wouldn't have. He said, we used to lay out in the field as all the pitchers, and our pitching coach would walk through, and we would do a breathing technique. You know, you just like four seconds in, 4 seconds out, relax, and then kind
just
of
to teach you to slow it down.
Yeah, and then he would just go through, and he would talk to us about, okay, you're on the mound. This is your four seam fastball, this is your slider, this is your curveball. And he said we would visualize it going in, being perfect, right on all our marks. And he said it had such a huge, he goes, at first we all thought it was stupid and kind of silly and we kind of make fun of it and snicker. He goes, but then like when our coach wouldn't be there or something for one day, like we all missed it. And we're like, man, I wish someone was here to do that. I feel like I need to do it before this game. So that's going to be our next movement now for Gunner, is just to try and slow everything down. Like, you know, he's in the box, he's getting ready in the dugout and just breathing. I saw a video of LeBron James during a game.
Can you say it right?
LeBron James. And he's.
Oh, I love that so much.
He
that was great.
We need to make that a gold.
On the bench, and he's got his eyes closed, and you see him doing the, like, some sort of a breathing technique, and he's just completely relaxing. You know, he's visualizing what's going on, what's going to happen, what he wants to happen. There's a whole science about it, and they're saying that the science is backing it up, all the whole visualization techniques. Visualization. It's not just for sports, too. You can be for anything in your life. If you want to be a better, you know, whatever.
Anything.
Just visualize yourself doing it. I have a friend of mine who, he did a competitive archery. And he said before he went to bed, every night, he said, the guy who taught me, is this old guy, he said, before you go to bed, go in your mind, go through 20 targets in your head of you pulling back, releasing, breathing, feeling it, hitting the target. He said, I did it every night. And he goes, I think it had a huge impact. Just kind of speaking of sports stuff, things that we're doing.
I think there's so much truth to that. And I think a lot of the most successful people have kind of learned that, because it's almost still taking control of a situation, regardless of where they're at. You know, whether you're Bron sitting on the Celtics bench, which they lost, but I follow that. But, you know, but he is. If he's visualizing the games, or, you know, if Gunner's doing it, you know, regardless of if he's on, you know, some big championship game versus one early in the season, that if he's kind of got that mind control going on, like controlling his breathing, and I think that's it for like consistency. I think that would be a huge benefit.
Yeah, because you know, the more competitive you are in whatever you're doing, the more things you've got to be doing to get ahead. You know, it's hey, you know, I'm lifting weights. I'm running. Now I'm doing this, and you just keep adding these things, and because you've got to add as much as you can, man. Try and get ahead. It's crazy.
Frankie and I do a thing now. Like we'll go outside and we'll shoot basketball because that's his passion, is basketball. And now we can't go in until somebody makes 10 shots in a row.
No, it's the best.
So we'll Woo! Do. Well, yeah, it's tough.
I would still be in my parents' yard right now.
Well, it's, you know, we started out with, it was 3 shots in a row. Then we moved to 5 shots in a row. It's like, okay. That. And then like now it's, we finally have gone up to 10 shots in a row. And it took us an hour, maybe extra, of just goofing off in the driveway yesterday. But the point is, we couldn't stop. Like Stacy was like, dinner's ready. We're like, we're on like 8. Can't do nothing here. We're stuck on 8. So then, like, I'll take my shots. If I make, you know, 8 in a row, then he takes his. And if he makes all 10, then we go in. And
if you miss one, you start all over again?
Yeah. Oh, if you miss one, and you give the ball to the other person.
It's fun. Makes you better.
Well, even, you know, that I've been trying to work out and up my game and stuff, and you realize how much of it is mental, that, you know, there's a lot to do with endurance and whatever, but I play those kind of weird games with myself on the treadmill. Like, okay, I've got to jack up the speed through an entire commercial break.
I have done that.
Or 2 minutes, or I have to go to the end of this song. Mm-hmm. It's just, and it's all mental, because I'm sure, you know, my legs obviously did it if I can make it to the end, but maybe a minute before I didn't think they could, but it's, for whatever reason, just playing those mental games to keep yourself going.
You remember when we had, and you weren't with us back then, I don't think, when we had David Goggins in with Marcus Luttrell and some of those guys? That guy was insane. Like he went from sitting on the sofa one day to dropping, what was it, 105 pounds in like 45 days.
And it was unbelievable.
It was completely a mental thing. He was like, there is no plan B. I'm going to do this and it's going to happen. And the only person who can stop me is me, and I'm not stopping me. And he then went on to become a Navy SEAL. He broke the pull-up record.
Wow.
Then he became an extreme runner. He had never run a marathon before ever in his life. And he went out and he ran a 100-and-something mile
Where's
race.
Where's he from?
She knows. It's probably Connecticut.
No, the reason I was asking is because I was just reading 2 weeks ago articles about ultra marathoners and like ultra runners like that. And there was some guy who had done that he had been much heavier and then decided, I'm going to start running. And that was kind of what he did. So I don't know if it was him.
He had like 240 pounds and he started
running.
They
didn't mention Navy SEAL though. That's why that sounds super impressive. So I don't think it's him.
Yeah. He had never done it before. He had never run a regular marathon.
Yeah.
And he went and ran like an ultra marathon just to do it. And he broke both feet. Like all of his feet were broken. And he finished
the last 60 miles.
Like
the first time he tried, he had to stop. Right?
His
skin was coming off his hands.
Wow.
He's from Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
He did the most pull-ups. He broke the record, the most pull-ups in 24 hours. Let me see if I can find that up. Yeah, marathon, ultra marathon.
And somebody has now beaten that record, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Like, he broke the record, and then somebody else was like, I'm taking that. That's
so
crazy.
So, in the late 1990s, after spending 4 years in the Air Force, Goggins, who weighed almost 300 pounds, was told he was too heavy to make it through SEAL training. In less than 3 months, he returned weighing 190 pounds.
Whoa.
Yeah. He also has a congenital heart defect.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he did all that with a heart defect. Yeah.
In 2012, he attempted the world record for pull-ups. He went on the Today Show to try and do the most pull-ups in 24 hours. He had been in considerable pain for hours as a severe bulge burst through the skin of his right wrist. An x-ray at 10:30 at night confirmed a right blah, 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 blah tear. The reason for the injury, blah, blah, blah. So he got injured. And then it says, and he came back In 2013, in Brentwood, Tennessee, Goggins broke the world record for the most pull-ups done in 24 hours by completing... How many guys?
In 24 hours.
In 17 hours. He did it in 17.
So he broke the record in 17 hours and said, yeah. I've had enough. I'm
how
done.
How many pull-ups do you guys think he did in 17 hours?
3,035.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, actually, I like that number.
4,025.
Oh, my gosh.
Imagine, I don't think I've done 4,000 of anything in my life.
And here's the thing.
I have a hard time hitting 4,000 steps in a day.
I haven't done one pull-up in my life,
This is the most important thing to me. Yeah, he did, and I would venture to say that Dave would tell you the same thing. Even though he beat the pull-ups in 17 hours, he had 4,025 pull-ups. The most impressive thing to me is the last sentence is that it was his third attempt at breaking the record.
Which means he never gave up.
Never, ever gave up. He kept at it. And there, it's also tough things are tough to do. And so if
is that
you,
what he said or is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Tough things are tough to do. And so
if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yep. And so he got in there. He had problems, physical problems. I mean, legit.
Yeah. Don't forget, this is a guy with a congenital heart defect.
And, you know, it's one of the things, man. There are things that click it for people. And I don't know what it was for him. Well, obviously he wanted to be a SEAL.
I remember do you not remember his, I wish I knew what episode that was. It was kind of early on in the podcast. He said he was sitting there on the sofa and he hated his job. He was fat and he goes, man, I'm sitting there. I'm drinking a milkshake. And he was like, I'm watching TV and the show about Navy SEALs came on. And he was like, right then and there, he's like, look at my fat butt sitting here. I could do what they're doing. It can't be that hard. And he's like, from that moment on, I knew I could do it. And he went out and he tried to run, a mile. He's like, I'm going to go run a mile just to prove I can do it. And he went out and he got like, 100 feet from the house or whatever. And he was like, man, this sucks. He turned around, went home, and he said he cried. He's like, I'm in horrible shape. And this is after his Air Force career. And he was like, this is terrible. How did I let myself get like this? And then that was the day. The light switch went on. And everybody's got... those moments, we just have to find him.
You can Google him and find out. He's got some really great videos. David Goggins is his name.
We need to get him back in.
Goggins. Yeah, we should. He's a great motivator and get you going.
Wow.
Get you going, man.
I remember like half the good stuff about him we couldn't even talk about on the podcast because David doesn't like to brag about himself. So, like, after the podcast was over, just hanging out with Marcus Luttrell and all these guys, they're all, like, they start telling stories about the amazing things. And, like, there's some stuff that's classified that they didn't tell us the details on, but they were like, yeah, the high-profile thing, that blah, 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 oh, that was David.
Wow.
And you're like, wow, no way. That dude is, on the DL, an American hero. And it's guys like that and girls that go out and do stuff. I mean, think about that lady who went and found bin Laden. She spent years of her life figuring out his network to where they could take an educated guess and go, he's in this house in Pakistan. And somebody believed in her enough to be able to say, you know what? This is the best shot we got.
Let's go.
Let's go. We don't know he's for sure there, but we're about 90% sure. That means you're 10% wrong, but they still did it. And I think that's awesome. People like that are great.
Also, there's a big push from a lot of different people, including, I'm kind of changing subjects here.
That's okay.
Current news, Sylvester Stallone, former heavyweight boxer Lennox Lewis, really trying to get the current administration, President Trump, to pardon Jack Johnson. And that has gone through as Trump has officially pardoned the late boxer Jack Johnson.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you don't know the story of Jack Johnson, it's sad and it's sickening. He was convicted in 1913 he was the boxing's first black heavyweight champion, but he was convicted of violating an act. It was called the Mann Act, M-A-N-N, Mann Act, when he drove a white woman across state lines. And who went on to be his wife.
Yeah.
And But yeah, that's how far we've come. But so he was convicted and
I'm put just in prison. Trying to process this. Mm-hmm. He drove her across state lines.
That was against the law. That was against the law.
Yep.
A black man to drive a white woman across
any man, you can't take a woman across state lines for sexual purposes. That's the Mann Act.
And that's what it was
and
about?
It's that they used that in
so that was
line.
Like the ancient version of human trafficking laws?
Yeah, they would use it a lot to get men who took women whose daddy didn't want them to go, if you know what I mean. Whether it be she ran off with a black guy or a poor guy or whatever. Yeah. And they'd go after that guy and say, well, you took this woman across state lines.
Yeah.
You know, so that they used that in Smokey and the Bandit. Smokey's talking about all the things he's going to get Bandit on. He took a woman across state. That's a Mann Act.
Oh,
he actually
did?
Says that in one of the lines.
Wow. So, yeah, that's.
I haven't watched Smokey and the Bandit since I was a little kid.
It still holds up. At least Jackie Gleason's part is still. Freaking hilarious.
Junior!
When I get home, I'm going to punch your mama in the mouth.
Man, you know something you haven't seen in a long time is the opening scene of Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run is one of the best movies ever. I was talking about that like not too long ago. I said, if you want to watch a movie that is just classic, politically incorrect, but funny, then check out Cannonball Run. Is it on Netflix or something right now?
I don't know. I had to pull up on YouTube just to see. I just wanted to show the guys the opening scene of the cop chasing the what was that?
It was a Lamborghini Countach.
Countach,
maybe?
I think it was
the one with the two girls. In it?
Yeah. And they're wearing like skin tight leather body suits or whatever it was.
It wasn't leather. It was like satin.
Satin.
Yeah, it was like shiny satin, like Buck Rogers costume.
Yeah, right. You're right. And they get out. Remember, she gets out in those high heels and she spray
Wasn't
paints.
Was one of them Farrah Fawcett or
I
somebody
think so.
Like that?
Yeah, because they were also in the they were in the race. Like they were part of the.
Carson's like, what?
Have
you
never seen
talking
it?
About?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's so great! So they have to race across the country, and everyone has their own way of doing it.
It's
an illegal race. So they all meet up at a starting point, okay? And you get to see all the different characters who are going to be in the race. And like these girls are like super hot girls, really hot car, real sexy, the whole thing, wearing tight stuff, and everything's falling out, high heels, the whole thing. And then you have that's their thing, and they have a Lamborghini that they're going to race. And then you have
Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr.
Yep.
are dressed as preachers or priests.
Priests. Because who pulls over priests?
Right.
Right.
Then you got the nuns, remember?
Yeah. And then you have it's him.
Oh,
What's his
Dom
name?
DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise is
and
in
Burt
a.
Reynolds.
Yeah, they do a
in an ambulance.
Because, you know, you put the lights on it, who's going to pull over an ambulance? The Japanese guys.
Oh,
their car is like super high tech.
Do you know who that was? That was Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan, and they were in an old Mitsubishi.
And it had all the high tech stuff on it.
Yes,
all the little like it was so
radar
cool.
and things.
God,
like
I'm trying
that.
To think of all the other characters that were there. That's the ones that just pop out to
it's
me.
It's horribly politically incorrect, but oh my gosh, it is so funny.
I don't remember being. Incorrect. Was
yeah,
it?
There's a lot. There's a lot. Anytime you have something stereotypical, whether it's stereotypical male, stereotypical female, stereotypical white, stereotypical
Chinese,
black,
and
Asian,
also,
then it's politically incorrect. But I'm just that's my little disclaimer. It's out there. If you're easily offended, well then stay in your room and keep your TV off. But if you're not, go and find it. It's really funny. Really, really funny.
I made two of them.
Actually,
they
I think
may
they
made
more.
Yeah, they may
the
have.
But the first two were the only good ones. I swear I saw number three, but it was not good.
How many Smoking the Bandits did they make?
Two?
See, I feel the same. What's the one where they, like, remember when they had to, like, transport that dumb elephant?
I'll tell you what.
That's when I was like,
I don't
oh
remember.
My gosh.
I always get. Can I just tell you, when I was little, that we used to watch BJ and the Bear.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Smoking the Bandit.
A man and his monkey, a concept I can't get enough of. Small rats. That's all I know about BJ and the Bear. I know nothing other than it's referenced in Mallrats.
I used to confuse those shows. I'm like, I can't tell which one was which. That's the bad thing.
Smoking the Bandit had one. two.
Don't say there was a three.
I don't think there was a three.
What? Wait, Smokey and the Bandit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a three, and it's terrible.
Is that the one where
That's
they're moving
the...
That's
the one where Smokey is the bandit. It's this weird...
Is that the one where they're having to transport an elephant?
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
You know who?
I just know that there is three.
I remember when John Rich came to the studio in his Trans Am.
Yeah, he had the actual Burt Reynolds
Trans Am.
It was awesome. The screaming chicken on the hood.
God, it was hot.
Speed Zone is the name of Cannonball Run 3. It was going to be Cannonball Run 3, and then it was renamed Speed Zone. It's like a ton of people you see in everything. The Smothers Brothers are in it.
Well, that's
all these old comic, you know.
That's what all the Cannonball Run movies were. They were just cameos.
I just remember this one because it was like 1989, and I saw it in the theater. I was like 10 years old. It was great. It was great.
It was not great.
It was not.
That's... Big D and I do that to each other all the time. We'll like make a statement about something, and the other will do the Lifetime Channel
narrator.
You know, narrator guy going, "All was not good, man. It's all good. All was not good.
We're fine.
They were not.
They
were
wasn't.
Not
fine.
Did you say they wasn't?
No, is that
they wasn't. Wasn't.
They wasn't.
It reminds me of Arrested Development that they'll talk and then. Ron Howard is the narrator, and he just totally negates everything they said.
I like Ron Howard. I don't know anyone. Like, how can you not like Ron Howard?
Well, this weekend's going to define whether or not people like him or not. Solo, man. He's in charge. He's the guy on top of Solo.
They think it's going to...
They're saying it's going to be the smallest opening for any Star Wars movie ever.
Like a Disney Star Wars.
Were there smaller Lucas?
That's what they're saying. That for an opening weekend, because, you know, I think like 77, I don't think people were as concerned about being out there opening weekend.
Solo is
the Han Solo.
It's just the Han Solo story.
Yeah. And I don't even get to see it on opening day. No, I don't get to see it the opening weekend either. I have to wait until next Wednesday to go and see it because we're going with friends. And that was kind of the deal is, you know, I have to wait. I'm like, okay.
Wow, that's a long time for you.
I know. I'm thinking about maybe sneaking out Monday or Tuesday after work and saying I'm going to the gym or something. I'm going to go work out for a couple hours. Lifting up some popcorn.
Did you see Deadpool yet?
No.
It's fantastic.
Remember we talked about that.
Oh, you haven't seen the first one?
I've seen the first one. I was not thrilled about the first one, and you guys all thought I was crazy because I told you somebody was reading tweets to me the whole time.
I went opening night. I was so stoked. I was like, all right, I'm all in for this. I was exhausted, didn't care.
Which one's better, one or two?
One. I enjoyed the second one very much.
Are there more one-liners or less?
There's more.
Oh,
there's more. There's actually...
I don't know if I can
They did something creative with the opening credits that I really enjoyed. I won't spoil it, but those were great. But yeah, there's a lot of one-liners, but it's just...
I will say this.
It was a
fun
movie.
They had amazing CGI in Deadpool 1.
Yeah.
Like that whole slow-mo scene when he's, you know, doing the whole car crash thing.
Yeah.
That was all CGI. Completely.
Makes sense, yeah. I mean...
But it's amazing to think about how good they keep getting. Like, every movie... Like, sometimes Avenger movies, you can tell sometimes they rush things or they go, oh, this one's so quick, don't put a whole bunch of time into it.
They won't notice.
And it ruins the transparency of the...
Still blown away by how fantastic Rocket is in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
You have an animated raccoon that I believe is a talking raccoon.
So
never
good.
Once like do I
never,
go,
Yeah, you've
eh.
never doubted it.
No, it's, I mean, just, and I watch, like, these little hairs move in different directions. It's ridiculous.
You know where they came up with that? That software for the hairs? From Monsters, Inc.
Oh.
So Sully, whenever he would move, his hair would have that natural flow.
And now it's Rocket.
By the way, happy Red Nose Day. Today is Red Nose Day.
I had a red nose in here. It's gone.
Oh.
Raises money for childhood something.
It's children in the most impoverished places in the world.
Fight childhood poverty.
Yeah, that's about as specific as I could find about it. I don't otherwise. Yeah.
buy your red noses at Walgreens for a dollar, and it goes to them somewhere.
Yeah, we had a bunch of them from last year. I don't know what happened to
them. Yeah, we kind of got into it, and then we just forgot. Like most things, like everything else, we just dropped the ball on it.
That's the American way. That's what we do. We get all in, and then we check out. We're like, man, I've been there, done that.
Hey, it's once a day, guys. You know what? It's time once again for the set and such.
The only thing Americans haven't dropped the ball on is like Cinco de Mayo. You know? Like every year, that gets bigger. St. Patrick's Day, Cinco de Mayo, any kind of drinking thing. What they need to do is maybe have Red Nose Day generated by a drinking
festival. Drinking Red Nose.
And then you have you earn your Red Nose.
That's right.
And then you're like,
I'm helping kids somewhere.
Then it gets bigger every year and you can help the kids.
Yeah. And actually, the drunker you get, the redder your nose is, the more you help kids.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then you have a game. Whose nose is the reddest?
Uh-huh.
And that person wins a child.
You actually get
You actually take one of these impoverished kids from another country and you get to keep them.
Yeah, and you get to raise them and feed them and all that.
The American way.
I love that.
That's what we're here for. We're thinkers.
Solving problems, bro. Solving problems. Well, hope everyone has a good Memorial Day and some time with the family or whatever you're going to be doing. And, you know, like Bubba always says, make sure that you don't forget what Memorial Day really is. It is not Veterans Day.
Well, you know, we've had people over the past several years say that we shouldn't say Happy Memorial Day on the show. Like, because we'll do it. We're like, hey, Happy Memorial Day. We're Big D and Bubba. Blah, blah, blah. And they'll be like, you can't say Happy Memorial Day. It's about people's deaths. We understand that. But at the same time, don't let them die in vain. You know, all and Big D's over here going, here he goes again, because I'm about to get on my soapbox. I know, but you got to bring it up. You can't.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm bringing something up that like one person. It got under my skin.
One time.
All it takes is one idiot on the internet.
Said Happy Memorial Day, and Bubba has been ticked about it for years.
I understand their argument. I do because
it's stupid.
Remembrance. But you know, it's one of those things where we have to, in their honor, live our lives and enjoy our families and have those cookouts and have a good time, or else they would die in vain. So have a happy Memorial Day. That's what I say.
No.
And doesn't that kind of seem to make sense?
Of course it does.
Not to that one guy. One guy was like, you can't.
And I
asked him, I said, are you a Gold Star family? No, I'm not. But I'm very offended. And I'm like, oh. Look, I get it. If you're a Gold Star family, Memorial Day means something completely different to you. But this guy wasn't, and he got under my skin, man.
Well, hey, Bubba, have a good Memorial Day.
I'm going to have a happy one.
And
I'm going to do that in honor of all those who have paid the ultimate price for America.
There you go. Thank you. Okay, what's coming up? What are we playing after this?
Dustin Lynch.
Oh, Dustin Lynch when he's in the studio. Enjoy this. And have a very good, happy Memorial Day weekend.
And the podcast sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
This was the podcast.
It was the podcast.
Hey, there's Dustin Lynch. I thought he had alcohol in his
water.
I did
too. That's why I was like kind of craning my neck to see what he walked in with.
I'm not drinking yet.
I thought it was a big bottle of vodka or something. But
really?
No, it's a bottled water.
I came to pimp my new vodka, guys.
Do you have your own alcohol?
I do not. No.
Seems like everybody seems to be getting alcohol.
Alcohol in restaurants. That's the thing to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess it's a smart thing. I mean, who all? And it's like they don't run the restaurants, but they just put
their
name on
them.
Right?
Then Blake did it. Then Jimmy Buffett obviously does it. Alan Jackson's got one. Jason Aldean.
Etchiel. John Rich. I think John Rich is going to run his because he's kind of.
Like he'll actually be in.
Yeah.
He's going to be.
He'll be bartending as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
John Rich is like the boss hog of country music.
I finally got to go to John Rich's house for a charity event.
I still haven't been.
I'm trying to. You haven't?
Really, I've been
cool.
Invited, dude, 50 times and I've never been able to go.
It's like a Bond villain house. It's amazing.
That's exactly it.
Right?
It's like a Bond villain lives there.
Explain
the
when you walk in.
The neighbors all hate him.
Explain as you walk in. Describe it to us.
That's so tough to do. how does this stand? How does this stay standing? I guess it's one of those houses where it's just an architectural genius.
And when you walk in, he's got like the bottom floor closed off. So you walk in and there's a, like a lady there going, please get in the elevator. And you go, okay.
So it's like an elevator.
So you get in the elevator.
He has an elevator
in his house, of course. And he goes up to the third or fourth floor.
Four floors.
Oh, and there's six floors. But when you go up to the fourth floor, and that's where the bar is.
That's two stories?
Oh, yeah, or three. It was, yeah.
Two or three story bar. Club.
Yeah.
Stay
yeah,
full
club
stage.
The club is two stories. The
Rhinestone club Saddle.
Itself is a full nightclub with a bar and a loft over like
one
a second
floor. One
day I'm
going to say yes. I swear, one day.
You have to do it.
I know. Oh, it's just crazy. Like, dude,
I'm waiting on my next invitation. I'm trying to find an excuse to go back over.
Really? Okay. Well, you let me know when you're going and we'll go together.
You can be
my tour guide.
He has. He told us he has a 50 cal up on the top. A Barrett 50 cal.
Of course he does.
That he has on a like a tripod, kind of a stand.
And he uses it.
Just in case?
No.
Just in case.
I mean.
What he said was that it was because he uses the scope to spy on people. He's like, I just like looking at people.
Wow.
All right.
I just like looking at people, see what they're wearing. Oh, okay.
Make sure they're not coming after my whiskey. He's like.
Sometimes I like to hide a speaker down by there, and it's wireless, and I talk to them.
So if you were to open a bar, what would the Dustin Lynch bar be?
It would be on the water. I'd have to. There's something about bars on the water that I love. So I'd be on the water.
Lynch's on the lake.
On the lake.
Dustin Lynch's on the lake.
That
would
be awesome.
Great.
In a marina or something.
I mean, obviously the go to here. I know it's really not your song, but if you're having a bar, wouldn't it be Dust on the Bottle?
Yeah.
Dustin.
Stop.
No.
That's so bad. Papa, yeah. That was a bad dad joke.
Yeah. If you're going to do the whole, you know, the thing tying in, Dustin Lynch is on the lake.
Yeah, that's stupid, by the
too.
Water.
I don't like that either.
That doesn't have a ring to it, though.
Okay. It really doesn't.
Probably just go DLs.
DLs on the DL.
Something. I don't know.
DLs?
DLs, my initials.
I don't know what your initials are.
It's kind of like Alan Jackson at AJ's. I mean, I don't know.
That's true. He did.
Dustin Lynch is with us. The new song is called Good Girl, and it is on the third album now, right?
I don't know. I you know what? This song came out of nowhere. I wasn't even expecting to go in and record a song at all. Just riding with some buddies on the Brad Paisley tour, and it happened. And said, whatever reason, this song said, I need to be heard this summer. So I recorded it, and my label said, what the heck? Let's
put
it out.
So you jumped over stuff that's on the last album.
Yeah, it threw a wrench completely into what I thought was going to happen with my life and of releasing music. So I don't know what's going to happen after this
single.
Like,
you might go back to the album.
I may go back to, the Current Mood album.
So how does that work? For those who, I don't even know how it works. So you have some songs. And you're like, and they're kind of in a line of like, okay, this one and then that one.
Maybe this one would be good after that one. Yeah, it's kind of that. But Good Girl came out of nowhere and we put it out. And now
label was cool with it. They were like, yeah, go ahead.
I remember I was in Anaheim, California, and I called the head of my label. And I'm like, he is going to bite my head off. But I have to get this idea out of my head. And I pitched him the idea. And he goes, you think I'm going to say absolutely not? I go, oh, no, you're going to say no. He goes, I'm going to say hell yes. I'm like, what? And that's so getting a yes kind of put everything into fast forward. I'm like, crap, now I've got to get this thing recorded and get artwork and get the release going. So I've just been scrambling the last couple of months to get
this
song
out. Well, I think anytime you have whether it's an old song that somebody, sometimes you'll see it very rarely, but somebody will start playing an old song from an artist like 15 years later, and all of a sudden it kind of blows up. It becomes like an internet thing or whatever. Like with Good Girl, you have a song that isn't on the album that drives people to the album.
It may never be on an album. I just, there's no rules anymore. Shoot. I'm just going to keep writing and recording and we'll see what happens.
But I still don't understand why people make albums anymore. That's now.
Thank you.
Because
I'm with you there.
Because, I mean, like, you're showing it with Good Girl. You can do it with one song. Bam, bam, bam. It cuts the cost way down.
Sure.
Yeah, have y'all ever heard of this guy, Sam Hunt, that all he did last year was record one song the whole year, release one song, and it was the biggest song of the year, and he went on tour to support one song. It's like, why make a record?
But I can tell you, a bazillion other people who put one song out and
I'm just saying, when you get to a point, what's why spend all the money?
When you're
and
Dustin
time?
Lynch and you've got the name recognition, you've got the fan base, you can do that. I think you totally can, and you can be. I hate using the phrase out of the box, but you can. You can do stuff differently because you've kind of your fame, your credibility has afforded you a little bit of that.
Yeah, it did allow, I guess, me to get a yes from my label. There's no way they would have said yes to this 2 years ago. So having a little bit of success, I guess, helped with the gatekeepers.
Dustin Lynch in the studio. Always good to see Dustin and get caught up on what's going on in his life. And I know that he is really, really interested in what's going on in our life. So we'll go ahead and tell you, Patrick has a girlfriend. Has had her for many months now.
Look at that look of surprise on his face.
Didn't know that, did you?
No.
How long?
He whipped his head like I thought you were going to throw your neck out.
6 months.
6 months.
What has gotten into you?
I lost 75 pounds, and suddenly people were like, I could date him. That's pretty much how it goes.
Dustin, look at Patrick, and I want you to tell me if there's anything else that you think has changed about him, about his appearance. He's already told you that he's lost 75 pounds.
Did he dye his beard?
He did. That is just for men, ladies and gentlemen. Just for men.
That's right.
Is in the studio.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy
cow. Now,
is
this
cow.
Her request?
No, she was on board with it, but I know there was this girl at a thing that said, oh, well, if your beard gets any whiter this Christmas, you could be Santa Claus. And I was like,
no way.
That was it for you.
Dyeing the beard.
And Patrick, he went prematurely gray. Like, you turned...
My hair's been gray since I was 14, but, like, up until 2 or 3 years ago, my beard was still black.
We always gloss over that, but why did you have gray hair at 14? I don't know anyone who has gray hair at 14.
What's his name? From American Idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Taylor...
Taylor Hicks. Steve Martin. Steve Martin's hair was white by the time he was 35.
Okay, so that's different than 14.
Well, yeah, but it starts early.
Did you have a little spot? Or is it by your ears?
Oh, no. It was always sprinkled throughout. And then one day I woke up and went, oh, it's all gray. No, what happened was I used to have long hair, and I used to dye it because you can't have long gray streaks in your hair.
Were you brunette?
Yes, I was. It was nice.
He was strawberry blonde.
And then I always said, oh, I hated dyeing it. So if I ever cut it, I'm just going to let it be gray. I had no idea how gray it was because I had been dyeing it for like 7 years.
Wow.
It was very gray. And you know what? It looks cool. But
so anyway, that's going on with him. Bubba is becoming a volunteer fireman.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going through the training now. He's doing all the. He passed the physical test. I don't know.
Don't know how.
Are you really?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And so he's like all into it, man. He was pulling hose the other day.
That's awesome.
I have to go. We're training again tonight.
My bus driver is a volunteer. Firefighter.
It's cool. It's hard, man. It's a lot harder than I ever thought it was going to be. And I'm not even talking about the actual firefighting. I'm talking about just the training.
The training.
Yeah.
All the tanks and the masks.
And
the
stuff you have to know, the knowledge and all that. That's crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
His house burned when he was 5.
Yeah, 5 years old.
And he's always wanted to do it. And he finally was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it.
That's awesome.
I honestly was fishing too much. And I know that sounds crazy to say, but I was literally fishing too much. I'm like, you know, I've got to be doing something more productive.
Really? I mean, what hit you where you're like, I'm out here too much?
I was sitting out fishing, and I went, you know what? This is a great life for a 60-year-old.
Okay.
This is not, I'm a young dude. I don't need to be out here fishing every day for 5 hours.
Yeah.
You're fishing for 5 hours?
I mean.
But I would fish for 2 or 3 almost every day.
I would love to. Have that problem.
That's what I'm saying.
I try to fish a lot, but I've been 3 times, 4 times this year. Yeah. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It sounds like a horrible thing, but you know, to say that I'm giving that up, but I figure I could do something more productive while I still have a body that can handle it. I'll have the rest of my life to fish.
Can I just say that I'm a little bothered that Dustin was more surprised that I have a girlfriend than that Bubba's becoming a firefighter.
He was.
That was a more shocking revelation. Yeah. Like, Bubba's going to be a firefighter. Oh, really?
You have to think of some key moments that we share in our past together, though.
What does that mean?
I would like to hear some of these key moments. What happened?
I think he's implying that
I'm asking him.
He has alter egos.
Some time on the beach.
Yeah, he has some alter egos.
Yeah, I do.
Five, know, oh, you mean like Five Whiskey Patrick?
Like Five Whiskey Patrick is a great dude.
Do you know, have you met Lil Tunchi?
Oh, yes, we have.
Okay.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, I've met Lil Tunchi.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many different personalities do you have?
That's it. Lil Tunchi is equivalent to 10 Whiskey Patrick. That's when that's when it gets real out there. So you need to stop around five.
Dustin, how many people do you have living inside of you? How many personalities do you have?
I'm still discovering.
We need to get Patrick Miller's t-shirt that says, I'm schizophrenic and so am I. That would be the best.
My problem with partying is it becomes a competition. You know, after a couple drinks, it's like,
that's exactly
and it, like you surround yourself with guys you like to drink with, and then it's just,
yeah,
man, who could, you know, we never get out of that college.
No, you don't.
I can stay up longer than you, you know, it just.
I'll never forget that Dustin had this party for his album, and when it came out, he's bringing out this really fancy whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
And they're passing it all out to everyone, and right before he says, don't shoot it. It's too good for that. I had already knocked
too late.
It all the way
typical
back.
Fashion.
Too
just
late.
Right on like, the money.
Well, make sure you get Good Girl. You can download it. It is a jam and a great song. Get it now. Download it. And I mean, Dustin kind of does things differently, and I like that. So it's not on an album. It's on its own. And then who knows what's going to happen? We don't know. Just keep up with him. He's on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. It's good to see you again, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
Dustin Lynch, everyone. We'll come back more after this.
They did not come back for more.